Christ has gone up on high. Alleluia. God raised Christ from the dead and enthroned him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. God put all things in subjection beneath his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. We died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We set our minds on things above. When Christ our life is revealed, we too will be revealed with him in glory. Christ has gone up on high. Alleluia. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be always with you. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after Ascension-tide, and so together we rejoice in the presence of our risen, ascended and glorified Lord, trusting that as God has raised Christ to the heights of heaven, he has prepared for us with him a place, assuring us that through life Jesus is with us always, and that we can be confident that his promises will never fail. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father most holy, look upon your people, whom you have sanctified by the dying and rising of your Son. Keep us one in love and consecrate us in your truth, that the new life you have given us may bring each of us to the fullness of joy. Grant this through Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit, to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 people, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us throughout that time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed to Joseph, called Barabbas, who was also known as Justus and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry, an apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. Go and make disciples of all nations, says the Lord. Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have made your name known, Father, to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in the name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have joy, made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I am asking you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may be sanctified in truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." On Wednesday morning, from the dispatch box of the House of Commons, the Prime Minister announced the setting up of an independent public inquiry into the handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Although the proposed timing of this anticipated review came under scrutiny, especially since it won't take place until the spring of next year, we were assured that the government was fully committed to learning the lessons at every stage of this crisis. The stated aims of the investigation: to place the state's actions under the microscope so as to identify the key issues that will make a difference for the future. In short, like the other public inquiries of recent years relating to the Hillsborough disaster, the events of Bloody Sunday in Northern Ireland, and the United Kingdom's role in the Iraq War, the inquiry will be concerned with a search for the truth, in the hope that by learning the honest reality of how things were and are, past mistakes can be examined and measures put into place to ensure that any failures of leadership and governance, even in the midst of unprecedented challenge, aren't repeated. Yet, though there is a great deal of appeal in seeking after the truth, especially when reflecting on the near universal impact presented by this time of pandemic, the results of such a search are rarely comfortable to hear. We know this from personal experience, when it can be quite difficult when those around us direct us to something about ourselves that we don't particularly like to recognise and would prefer to ignore. If you're anything like me, then I'm quite agreeable in noticing my own mistakes and failures, but have a tendency to act rather abruptly and defensively when someone else picks me up on those times when I might have fallen short. The truth convicts us and disrupts us, diverting our normal patterns and directing us to consider those things that might be different. Therefore, it's predictable we're always probably not going to enjoy being confronted with the truth about ourselves, or indeed how we've missed the mark in our dealings with others. In the various accounts of Jesus' encounters and actions following his resurrection, we find that all the gospel writers are concerned in revealing to us what it might mean for us to believe the truth of Easter. The realisation of Mary Magdalene in the garden after presuming Jesus to be the gardener, the transformation of Thomas's fearful doubts into searching and secure faith as he stands before the risen Lord, the rehabilitation of Peter by the Sea of Galilee following the dark night of betrayal as he's told to tend and feed Jesus' sheep, and the cowering disciples in the upper room, who through the gift of peace given by Christ are given boldness for what will soon be expected of them. Only by recognising the truth of who Jesus is, what God has done in and through him, can everything else come together, and our lives, however mixed up and confused, finds their meaning and orientation. In these days of Ascension Tide, such hope is renewed in remembering that the same Jesus who suffered death on the cross and who was raised to new life on the third day is the same Jesus who, in the words of today's collect, was exalted in great triumph to God's kingdom in heaven, risen, ascended, glorified. The writings of the New Testament reminding us, just as the Church has proclaimed down the centuries, that what we know and experience of Christ cannot be constrained by the usual parameters of space and time. For if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then just as he was with his apostles 2,000 years ago, so he is with us now, relevant to all aspects of human life. The Ascension bringing with it the sure reminder that the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were neither historical accident or nice memory, but the very ground of the world's hope and salvation, holding out a truth that will stand for all time and into eternity. As Rowan Williams remarks, Jesus' departure is not so much the conclusion of a sequence of resurrection appearances, as the first movement in the creation of a worldwide mission and witness by the Church in the power of the promised Spirit. It is this need to prepare his disciples for what is soon to take place that forms the focus for today's passage from John's Gospel, where in concluding the so-called farewell discourse, anticipating the coming hours of his passion, Jesus prays to his Father for his disciples, asking that they may both be enabled and prepared for all that will be asked of them, as those called to share and participate fully in the mission he has begun. It is a prayer which, when read in its entirety, communicates to us, just as it would have done for those whom the Gospel of John was written for all those centuries ago, what God's revelation of himself in Jesus was all about, and perhaps more importantly, what this meant for how they were now to live as citizens of Christ's kingdom in the world. Jesus prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." As those who have encountered the fullness of God manifested in this Jesus from Nazareth, the one who the Gospel writer tells us from the beginning is the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth, Jesus asks that the disciples might be sanctified in the truth. The word translated to us as sanctify could also be interpreted as consecrate. Jesus praying to the Father that those whom he calls friends might be hallowed and set apart in the truth that arises not from within ourselves, from how we might wish or want things to be, but rather, in quoting Psalm 119, a truth that finds its origin in the promises of God's word. Your word, Jesus says, is truth. And thus it is an awareness of this truth that is to animate each and every part of our lives. As those who've been entrusted with ensuring that the truth about God is made known, both through our relationship with Christ and our interactions with each other. If we are consecrated in the truth, then we're not only summoned to be truthful, but to be agents of God's loving and wondrous truth in the world, a truth that is gracious and generous, not recriminating or judgmental, but a truth that confirms us in all that the Lord has done for us, and ultimately reminds us that it is God's kingdom we seek and not our own. As Jesus says earlier in the Gospel, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Whilst many forces in society, politics, and culture can encourage us to hide away from the truth and to avoid the challenge that comes from our choices, Jesus confronts us clearly and markedly with what it might mean for us to live obediently and responsibly in relationship to the one in whom we live and move and have our being. It is the truth of God in Christ that frames our past, present and future, that saves us from ourselves, that raises us to the very heights of heaven, and that directs us to what it might mean to be drawn so as to draw others into the community of God's grace and peace. As the Jesuit priest and poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, inspired by the words of Thomas Aquinas, once wrote, "What God's Son has told me, take for truth I do. Truth himself speaks truly, or there's nothing true." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We pray for our bishops, James and Emma, and all those who minister here in our diocese, who show us how to play our part in the life of the Church throughout the world. We give thanks for the faith and leadership of Reverend Andrew Norman in our worship at St James and St Michael and All Angels. We pray for our church wardens and parochial church council members in both parishes, and we ask for your guidance in their dedication to the service of our churches over the forthcoming year. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Elizabeth our Queen and for all those in positions of authority and governance, that they may care for your created world and all its people. In this Christian Aid Week, we remember before you all those throughout the world who are unable to defend themselves against hunger, sickness, or natural disaster, or who are suffering through human conflict, particularly in Israel at this time. We give thanks for the work of Christian Aid as they seek this year to provide reliable sources of water to help families withstand long drought or relentless rain. And we thank you for the many charities who are working to help change the lives of those who are directly suffering from the consequences of climate change. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our neighbours, friends and children who live, work and play in our parishes. We give you thanks for the close links that we enjoy with our schools and for all those who volunteer from our churches as governors. We thank you for the beauty of the countryside that surrounds us in our community, and we offer a prayer of welcome to those who will start to return to our villages and support our local businesses as they begin to reopen more fully from next week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we ask you to protect us all in our daily lives as the COVID pandemic continues. We give you thanks for all those who care for others through developing and delivering the vaccines, and those who continue to work tirelessly in our medical and support professions. We remember especially those in India, South America, and Africa who feel that they are fighting a losing battle against the pandemic through lack of supplies and staff, but who remain so determined to save as many lives as they can against all the odds. We ask for your healing for those who are sick, and ask that you give those who care for them the strength to continue in their support to all in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we commend to your everlasting love all those who have died recently or who are remembered especially at this time of the year. We pray for those who are saddened by the death of a loved one and ask that you give them strength and faith in their time of sorrow. We seek your comfort in the knowledge that those who have died are commended to your care. Grant us with them everlasting light and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Unto God's mercy and protection we commit you. May the Spirit, who set the Church on fire upon the day of Pentecost, bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you, rest, remain, and be always with you, those whom you love and pray for, this day and always. Amen. Waiting expectantly for the promised Holy Spirit, go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Thank you.